Hello everyone, welcome back to Faded Tales. So I don't have intro music for you guys because the computer glitched, but that's okay because I just want you guys to have a clear, calm mind as you this hope this podcast helps you relax and study, or helps you relax and go to sleep, and I hope maybe if you just want to maybe you just want to learn about animals instead. Come on, join us. Anyway, welcome back to Veda Tales. This is the, for those who are new here, this is the show where we trace the stories of animals who walk the thin line between survival and extinction. I'm your host, Zoya, and today we are heading into the wide open grasslands of North America, a place of whispering prairie winds, rustling grass, and believe it or not, one of the rarest mammals on the continent, the black-footed ferret. Once declared extinct twice, this slender-maxed predator has clawed its way back from the edge thanks to luck, science, and some incredibly dedicated humans. This is the story of how an animal once fought gone forever became a symbol of conservation resilience. Now, let's get started. Let's start with a scene from the past. Imagine standing in the middle of the great plains, endless grass dotted with prairie dog towns stretching as far as the eye can see. It's late evening, and a pair of yellow eyes flash in the moonlight. A sleek, pale creature slinks through the tunnels, its black mask giving a bandit's look. It's quite quick, silent, and deadly to the prairie dogs below. That is the black-footed ferret. These little carnivores once roamed across much of central North America, from South Canada through the U.S. Great Plains, and even into northern Mexico. They were never abundant. They depended almost entirely on prairie dogs for food and shelter, but they were part of a thriving ecosystem. Ferrets hunted prairie dogs inside their burrows, ate them, and even used their tunnels as homes. In a sense, their entire lives were built on the backs and the burrows of prairie dogs. But as settlers expanded westward in the 1800s and early 1900s, this delicate relationship began to collapse. Prairie dogs were considered pests, blamed for destroying crops and competing with livestock, so people poisoned them, shot them, and plowed their towns under. By wiping out prairie dogs, we didn't just lose a rodent. We set off a chain reaction. Because for the black-footed ferret, no prairie dogs meant no food, no homes, and no future. By the 20th century, the black-footed ferret had almost completely disappeared. Scientists believed it was extinct. In fact, the first extinction, quote-unquote, was declared in 1967, after years of fruitless searches. Then, surprisingly, a small population was found in South Dakota. But soon after, that group too vanished. Once again, the species was thought to be gone for good. But nature, as it often does, had one more twist in store. In 1981, a ranch dog named Shep made a discovery that changed everything. Shep belonged to a Wyoming rancher named John Hogg in a small town called Metesi. So one night, the chef came home with a strange animal in its mouth, small, pale, with a black mask and dark feet. Hawk took her to the local taxidermist, who recognized it immediately, a black-footed ferret. Soon, wildlife biologists descended on that little town, and what they found stunned them. There wasn't just one ferret. There was a small population living right there on the prairie, the last known wild black-footed ferrets on Earth. At first, researchers were thrilled. They began studying the ferrets intensively, hoping to protect them in the wild. But within just a few years, disaster struck. Those ferrets in that small town were hit by canine distemper and bubonic plague, diseases that spread quickly through the prairie dog colonies that they depended on. By 1985, that population had crashed as well. In a desperate move, biologists captured the last remaining individuals, 18 ferrets in total. 18 and brought them into captivity. It was a risky decision. Removing them meant no wild population remained, but it was their only chance of survival. Those 18 ferrets became the foundation of one of the most ambitious conservation breeding programs in history. The breeding effort began at the Wyoming Game and Fish Department's Silsbee Wildlife Research Center. And it wasn't easy. Ferrets are notoriously difficult to breed in captivity. They're solitary, territorial, and only come into season once a year. To make things even trickier, they required precise lighting cues to trigger mating behavior. Early attempts failed, females refused to breed, males were aggressive, and infant mortality was high. But with persistence, new techniques, and some creative solutions, success came. By 1987, the first captive-born black-footed ferret was thriving. Over the next few years, scientists refined every step of the process, from diet to enclosure design to genetic management and so on. Because remember, all living black-footed ferrets today descend from those original 18. That meant their genetic diversity is dangerously low, a constant concern for inbreeding and disease vulnerability. To help manage this, science turned to genetic databases, frozen semen storage, and even artificial insemination. In fact, the first successful artificial insemination in the black-footed ferrets happened in 1988, a world first for the species. By early 1990s, the population had grown large enough to consider the next step, reintroduction. Now, the first reintroduction took place in 1991 in Shirley Basin, Wyoming, not far from where the last wild ferrets were found. It was an emotional moment. After years of being extinct in the wild, black-footed ferrets were finally returning to their ancestral home. But release wasn't simple. Oh no, the ferrets were raised in captivity, had to learn to hunt and avoid predators, skills that were never practiced in their enclosures. Many early releases failed. Some ferrets starved, others were killed by predators within days. So conservationists developed preconditioning programs, training ferrets in semi-wild enclosures filled with live prairie dogs, giving them a chance to practice hunting before being released. Over time, survival rates improved, and so did the reintroduction process. Today, the black-footed ferrets live in multiple reintroduction sites across the western United States, Canada, and Mexico. Places like Montana's UL Bend National Wildlife Refuge, Arizona's Arby Valley, and Mexico's Janos Biosphere Reserve. But all of those now serve as ferret strongholds. There are now an estimated 300 to 400 ferrets in the wild and around 300 more in captivity. Not a large number, but a huge step forward from the near extinction that was before. Now, you can't talk about the wild black-footed ferrets. Well, I just told you about the wild black-footed ferrets. I told you about the conservation efforts, the extinction, and all that. But I want to It had a small reference to their connection with prairie dogs. So I want to talk about it a little bit. I told you that the ferrets depend on them for almost everything. Told you that they eat them. I told you they live in their burrows. I told you even their breeding cycle was around the prairie dog availability. Now, a single ferret can eat over 100 prairie dogs in a year. That means a healthy ferret population depends on healthy prairie dog colonies. But prairie dogs face their own threats, ongoing eradication programs, habitat loss, and most devastatingly, bubonic plague, a bacterial disease introduced to North America in the early 1900s. This plague kills the prairie dogs rapidly and wipes out entire colonies, which in turn wipes out the ferret's food source. So protecting ferrets means protecting prairie dogs too. Conservationists now vaccinate the prairie dogs and dust their burrows with insecticide to kill plague-carrying fleas. It's labor-intensive, but it keeps both the species alive. Now, the story of the black-footed ferret introduction doesn't stop there. In 2020, which is only 5 years ago, if you can believe, The species made headlines again, this time for a groundbreaking experimental in genetic cloning. Scientists at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service were working with Revive and Restore and Via Genepets successfully cloned a black-footed ferret named Elizabeth Ann. Elizabeth Ann was an ordinary ferret. She was cloned with the frozen cells of a female named Willa, who had died in the 1980s and wasn't one of the original 18 founders used to in the breeding program originally. So that meant Elizabeth Ann carries new genetic material, a potentially viable boost for the species' limited gene pool. She was born in December 2020 and is now a living example of how biotechnology could help endangered species in the future. It's still experimental. There are ethical and biological questions to consider. I know the people have thought about that, but it represents a glimmer of hope for restoring loss in genetic diversity. Now, so where are we now with the black-footed ferret? As of 2025, the black-footed ferret still remains one of the most carefully managed species in North America. Every individual is tracked, genetically mapped, and vaccinated against plague and distemper. Her reintroduction sites are constantly monitored, and captive breeding continues to supply new individuals for release every year. Ferrets still face challenges, disease outbreaks, shrinking prairie dog populations, and the constant risk of losing genetic diversity. But the species has come farther than anyone ever expected. In conservation circles, it's often called a miracle species, one that comes back not once but twice from extinction. And for many biologists, it's a reminder of what's possible when science, persistence, and luck collide. Now, aside from being rare and adorable, the black-footed ferret plays an essential ecological role. That's what scientists call a specialist predator, meaning they fill a very specific niche in the prairie ecosystem. By hunting prairie dogs, they can help regulate prairie dog colonies and maintain the balance of grassland habitats. Their presence also supports biodiversity. The burrows they reuse become microhabitats for insects, reptiles, and other small mammals. And beyond ecology, there is something deeply symbolic about them. The black-footed ferret embodies the fragile connection between species and environment, how one depends utterly on the other. It's also a symbol of human responsibility, a creature nearly erased by our actions, now surviving because of our efforts to undo damage. Let's zoom in for a moment and imagine a day in a life of a wild ferret at the end. Now, it's night. Ferrets are nocturnal hunters. One female ferret slips silently through the entrance of a prairie dog burrow. She moves fast, slender body twisting like liquid through the tunnels. Her hearing is sharp, her nose sharper. She catches the scent of her prey, sleeping prairie dog, and lunges. It's quick, efficient, and silent. After her meal, she retreats into the different burrow to rest. She may have kits hidden in a nearby tunnel. Tiny, blind at birth, entirely dependent on her. In a few weeks, they begin venturing out with her, learning the art of hunting underground. It's a harsh life, but one perfectly adapted to the grasslands. Every move she makes, every breath she takes, ties to that fragile ecosystem. Now, the story of the black-footed ferret isn't just about one animal. It's about the systems that sustain life, and how easily these systems can unravel. When the prairies were plowed and the prairie dogs poisoned, the ferrets vanished. When we restored these grasslands and protected their prey, they began to return. Their recovery reminds us that conservation isn't just about saving cute animals. It's about rebuilding relationships between species, landscapes, and people. It also shows how collaboration matters. Ranchers, scientists, tribal traditions, government agencies, and zoos all play a role. The Chenal River Show tribe, for example, manages one of the most successful ferret reintroduction sites on tribal land, a model for community-based conservation. So the black-footed ferret's comeback isn't just about biological triumph, it's a social one too. So what are these next for these mass survivors? Conservationists are focusing on three main goals: strengthening wild populations, ensuring reintroduction of the sites are stable and self-sustaining. Number two is combating disease through vaccinations, flea control, and plague-resisting prairie dogs. And number three is expanding genetic diversity through cloning, chiral preservation, and careful breeding. Each of these steps is crucial. Without them, one bad plague outbreak could undo decades of progress. The hope is that someday the Blackfoot Affair won't need human intervention at all, that they'll thrive on their own as part of a healthy prairie ecosystem. Until then, that they remain one of the best examples of what we can achieve when we refuse to let a species fade away. So, yeah, that's it. That's the story of the prairie dog. The black-footed prairie, sorry, not the prairie dog. That is the story of the black-footed ferret. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. The black-footed ferret, I feel, reminds us that extinction isn't always the end. Sometimes it's a call to action, but it's better to save it before it. From ranch dogs to discovery in Wyoming to high-tech cloning labs, it's been a journey of rediscovery, persistence, and hope. If you enjoyed learning about this remarkable survivor, don't forget, tune in to Faded Tales again next Monday. We'll tell more stories of the wild, the weird, and the nearly forgotten. I'm Yozoya, and until next time, keep exploring, keep wondering, and keep believing in second chances. Bye-bye! Have a great day!